Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us begin with singing Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 4. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry, to thee my supplication make, to thee I bring my sad complaint, to thee my bitter grief I take. The first four stanzas of Psalter 388.
Thank you. Congregation, let us now together read what we can find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, the verses 13 through 33. So St. Luke, chapter 23, but let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Luke 23, beginning with verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. He said unto them the third time, Why? What evil had he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with them to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Thus far the reading of God's word.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Brendan DeYoung and his family, whose grandmother passed away this past week in Norwich. Also, we announce to the congregation that Mr. and Mrs. John and Maddie Vinnie hope to commemorate their 56th wedding anniversary on Friday, March 29. We wish them the Lord's indispensable blessing, and may they be spared for many years together. We apologize for forgetting to put this in the church news. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have begun to gather in this morning of thy day, and thou privilegest us with blessings above so many in this world, that we may come together around about thy everlasting word and testimony. When we have heard what is to our condemnation by nature, for we do no different than that multitude that has cried out, Away with this man. O Lord, it is this man whose name is preached from the beginning of the world unto the end of the world. And it is this man that we will not by nature have to reign over us, that we say away with this man, and by nature coming into thy house also a Sabbath after Sabbath day, with a righteousness of our own that is not able to stand against the storms. For when they come and our house is built upon the sandy foundations of our own righteousness, and then they shall be in one moment washed away. But we have no realization of it by nature. And we come still as a good man, as a good woman, as a good boy, as a good girl in thy house of prayer. Oh, then we in our hearts have no need for thee or for thy suffering. Then we say continually, and not perhaps with our mouth, but with all of our deeds, with our life, away with this man. O Lord, thou alone art able to make it different. Thou alone art able to open our eyes. And thou alone art able in this day to give true conviction of our sin, to show unto us who and what we are. Oh, that thou may be pleased in this day, and when thy word, when thou wilt give it in this morning and in this afternoon hour, and may go forth into preaching and into reading. Oh, could it please thee to send forth an arrow out of thy heavenly quiver to strike our hearts and to show us what our sin is, each and every one in a personal way. Oh, that our fingers may not be pointing unto others in this morning hour, but that they may be pointed unto ourselves by thee. Oh, thou art able to break our stony and hard hearts, and thou art able to give us a true sorrow for our sin, and thou art able to make us to go over this world as a weeping man, as a weeping woman, that we have left God, that we have in ourselves no desire for Him anymore. Oh, that it may become our deepest grief and sorrow. Lord, this also is undeserved, for Thou canst rightly from thy side leave us over to ourselves, that we would continue in that way in which we were born, even under the preaching and the reading of thy holy word, that we would continue to walk upon that broad way that leadeth to destruction, that thou wouldst never say unto us thus far and no further, but that we, with all the means, would only increase our judgment and our condemnation to all eternity, so that every word that we have heard of grace and of mercy shall burn in our conscience to all eternity. O Lord, we beseech it of thee in this morning hour, that thou wouldst take reasons out of thyself to begin from thy own side. Oh, it is our only hope and our only expectation that thou wouldst look on us in mercy as we are lying polluted in our own blood and cast out in the open field with no desire to return, only rebellion living within our hearts. Oh, we ask of thee, Lord, become too strong for us. Oh, stop us upon our way. Oh, do turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Oh, save us, and we shall be saved. Oh, draw us, Lord, and we shall run after thee, and in thy name that will so be glorified and honored. Oh, there shall be hunger and there shall be thirst after thee, as the bread and as the water, the fountain of living waters, the water of life. Oh, could it please thee then to remember thy own great name, to build up thy church in the last days that we live in with our dear children, before that awful persecution will be coming again, the tribulation that we can read of in thy holy word. Oh, prepare us then and glorify thy own name by increasing the number of thy true people. Oh, do give thy word to go forth with power in those that are yet unconverted. And oh, could it please thee to remember also thy own flock. Oh, thou knowest how that Satan tries to draw also them away, the flesh after the world. But is there not, Lord, also another part that longs and that hungers after thee? O Lord, that seeks for thee and pants for thee, even as the hart panteth for the living waters. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face. O Lord, could it please thee then to answer that request even in this morning hour, when there may be a little token out of thy heavenly store to fill the hungry with good things, And wilt thou give that the meek might eat and be satisfied? And wilt thou look on all the needy? Remember those that mourn in our midst and also their families far away from them in these days. Supply thou and all do instruct also in the reality of life that it is a dying life, that we may be ourselves prepared in that in a special way to seek and to find thee in the days of our youth. Do look upon the youth, the children, and all those that care for them, that teach them, that do lead and instruct them, parents and teachers and office bearers. Wilt thou give thy blessing on all the labors that are performed? Be with all those that listen by church telephone, that are not able to come up to thy house of prayer this day, when it may be in their hearts a desire. Could it please thee to make the place where thou hast driven them to be a little sanctuary in this day? And remember all those that suffer wants and needs, which only thou art able to fulfill, needs of the body, needs of the mind. Those that are that suffer from addictions, those that are lying in the prisons, wilt thou look upon each and every one, and wilt thou supply for us also in this morning hour and in this day, when we may bring thy word in this morning. Lord, give strength, give thy spirit in a rich measure, and supply for us in going forward, that more and more we may be able to come to this place again and to do as thou hast commanded us, and that thou would show thyself to be a fulfiller of thy promise, that thou hast put thy words in our mouth when this one or that one and may receive an indispensable blessing. Help us then, Lord. It is from our side so undeserved, for thou knowest our hearts and all that lives within them. Oh, then there is not one that can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean. Oh, give to us then the place of him who had to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, that what we may receive and maybe only out of free and sovereign grace. Remember also those who may commemorate an anniversary. Wilt thou bless them, O Lord, with heavenly blessings, which they cannot do without, especially in the climbing of their years. Remember each and every one that in thy mercy we ask it with the request, the beseeching of thy presence and of thy nearness in this morning hour in the preaching and in the hearing. We ask it in the name and for the sake of thine only and only begotten and beloved Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1 through 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1 through 4 of Psalter 188. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text can be found in that portion of God's word which was read to you, Luke 23, and thereof the 26th verse. Luke 23, verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So far, the words of our text. Our theme is cross-bearing after Jesus. First, the willing cross-bearer, and second, a compelled cross-bearer. Cross-bearing after Jesus. First, the willing cross-bearer, and second, a compelled cross-bearer. And afterwards, we hope to try to close with a few words of application. And as they led him away, thus we see, congregation, in our thoughts, a procession. There is a great multitude of people, and it is a mixed multitude. We can see that, children, by their clothing. They do not all look the same. No, some of them we can see they are belonging to the Jewish nation, and others we see that they are Roman citizens, and in a special way here we have actually Roman soldiers. Thus, there is a mixed multitude, and we see them all together walking. We see them walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Where are they coming from? They are coming from Pilate's judgment hall. Where are they going? Well, we see them walking toward the gate. They are walking toward the gate of Jerusalem. What are they doing? We read that in our text, and as they led him away. Yes, now we can see it. There is a man. He is in the midst of them, and this man, we can see, they are leading him. No, we do not see any turmoil. This man obviously does not need to be forced to go along. This man is offering to these Roman soldiers no resistance, but he is willingly being led. Who is he? Or we all know it. The children know it. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard in the weeks that have gone by. We have heard it also just read from God's word, all that has transpired at that judgment hall. A great predicament, the accusations, the duo, and what the people have cried, and that sentence that has been laid against him, the mockery. They have clothed him in a purple robe. They have bowed the knee. They have crowned him with a crown of thorns. And they have struck him on the head. They have spit at him. And they have abused him. And they have scourged him. And what do we read? What do we read that he says in answer to all this? Nothing. Nothing. And now we read, and they led him away. How is it? Is it not as was also prophesied of him, and that he would be led away? What was that prophecy, children? Long time ago, long time before it ever happened, that God's servant, he may speak of what would happen. He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before her shearers, he openeth not his mouth. So we see that he is being led away. And where are they going? What are they going to do? Well, what was the sentence? The sentence was, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, unjust. He could not make his own decision as a judge, a righteous judgment, no. But he gave in unto the corrupt will of this people. And what was what they required? Let him be crucified. Thus, where are they going? They are going outside of the city. Therefore, they are walking through the streets of Jerusalem. They are walking towards the gate of Jerusalem because they are going to go to Golgotha. They are going to go to that place where the criminals want to be crucified. And now, what was the custom of the Romans? The custom of the Romans was that the malefactor had to carry his own cross. Thus, we read it in the Apostle John that he, bearing his cross, went forth. Thus, these Roman soldiers have laid that cross upon the bleeding back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he object? No, we do not read that he objects. And why not? Well, what did Isaiah prophesy of him already long before? Well, we read it. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thus, congregation, it was the iniquity of the church of God that was laid there upon the bleeding back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he object? No. Was it the Roman soldiers and that have placed that burden upon him? Oh, congregation, they were only instruments. They were not the first cause. Oh, no, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And therefore, Christ does not object. Congregation, have you also a cross? And who is laying that cross upon you? Is it a cross that is laid upon you by men? Is man the first cause? Or is he only an instrumental cause? The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, Christ, what does he do? His human nature that is like ours in all of this suffering, then his human nature also recoils against that suffering. But his will is one What do we read? O my Father, if this cup might pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And so they lead him away. Congregation, we cannot fathom the willingness of Christ to suffer for his church. When did it begin? Not in the time. Lo, I come, he says. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Oh, it began already in eternity. It always was his will. Oh, that desire to do the will of his Father. And in the time, as the reality that is coming closer and closer, then what do we read? We read, he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. His disciples are afraid. Peter, he says, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And so we see them going as they led him away. They lead him through those streets of Jerusalem toward the gate. But what does our text say? And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. What happened? Congregation, we do not know exactly what happened because the Bible is silent about it. But it is not too difficult for each one of us who have some understanding of the human body, of the human nature, to imagine what has happened. Because Christ, he is no hardened criminal. No, congregation, he is a lamb. A lamb. He is a prophet. He is a teacher. And he has been going about his Father's business for these years. It is also early in the morning. And the night passed. How was that night? Or was he able to lay upon a soft bed that he may get his rest in that night? No, congregation. And then we can read all that has transpired in that night. And then it has begun even after that supper, where he has gone with his disciples into Gethsemane. And there he has suffered in his soul and in his body. And when we read how that his sweat that did become as great drops of blood falling onto the ground. And he was taken in that night, and he was led in that night to the hall of Caiaphas. There he was abused, and he is led early in the morning to the hall of Pilate, that judgment hall. He is led unto Herod. He is brought back once again unto Pilate. Oh, we see him through this past night, going through judgment. And then we know how that he was scourged, and thus his head and his body that is dripping with blood. And our congregation, the body of the Lord Jesus, that is not some strange kind of a body, no. that is just like your body and like my body, that he has fully taken upon himself our human nature. And then it is understandable that that body is becoming weaker and weaker. Maybe there comes a point that the Lord Jesus, he begins to stumble, we do not know, under the weight of that cross. That is a dilemma for those soldiers because, well, if it will be that the Lord Jesus, he will succumb even upon the way, and then they will not be able to bring him to crucifixion. So something must be done. Shall they help him? Shall they take two soldiers and take that cross upon their own backs and carry that cross for him? What do you think, children? Oh, no. You do not read that they do such a thing. We read something else. That brings us to our second thought. And a compelled cross bearer. What do those soldiers do? We read that they lay hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And thus, this is a man, Simon by name. He is a Cyrenian. He comes from Cyrene. Cyrene, that is an important city in the north of Africa. And in this place, there is a large colony of resident Jews. And these Jews from Cyrene, they also even have a very special synagogue of their own in Jerusalem. Thus, we see Simon, he is probably a Passover pilgrim, and that he is lodging in one of the small towns outside of Jerusalem, and now early in the morning, and then he will come into the city, and that he may perhaps pay his vows, that he may come into the city, and that he may celebrate the Passover, and that he may come into the temple of the Lord. And then as he is coming out of the country, we read in this way, and then he is meeting this procession that is coming out against him. And then what do we read? That these soldiers, they lay hold of him. They grab him, children. Do they have a right to do that? They do not. They have no authority to do that. But they also have no one to stop them. And so in situations like that in this world, then there is an expression that might makes right. Whoever is the strongest is the one who gets his way. So it is also with these soldiers. No one is able to come against them. And so they take hold of this man. They lay hold. Matthew says that they compel him. That means this Simon, he is not doing this in a willing way. He needs to be compelled. Why? Well, that is a burden that he has to carry now, that cross. He is on his way to the temple. But it is not only a burden. It is not merely for the heaviness of it, but it is also a great shame. When he will have to now carry the cross of a malefactor, and that is the work of that criminal. And not only so, but it is a defilement. He has come all the way from Cyrene. He has come as a devout man. He has come as one who desires to celebrate the Passover in the temple of the Lord. And how shall it be if he is now defiled in such a way? all he needs to be compelled. The word compelled, that is actually in the original language a military term. A military term. It's a term that is used to refer to the forced transport of military goods. So apparently when the soldiers would go on their rampages, then they would find people along the way to carry for them their military goods. And they would compel them, they would force them to go along and to carry their goods for them. That is the use of this term, compelled, to be pressed into service. The Lord Jesus also speaks of this word. And when he says, if a man will compel you to go a mile, he says, go with him twain. So also here. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. That he might bear it after Jesus. No. Then this man does not get the heaviest part of that cross. You can imagine what that cross looks like, boys and girls, the Roman cross. Then it is a large piece of wood in the vertical direction, and then across another piece. And now the Lord Jesus, he still must bear the front part, the heaviest part of that cross. And Simon, he gets, as it were, the tail end, that he may help the Lord Jesus to carry this cross. And so we see them going. Christ in the front. Simon in the rear. Thus Simon, he follows in the exact same footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ goes willingly, and Simon unwillingly. And maybe now he is also mocked, when he has to carry that cross, even as Christ was being mocked. And now perhaps Simon also is mocked by the soldiers, by the Jews. And thus Simon becomes a partaker of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. But congregation, we read something else in the Bible. Mark relates something very peculiar. What is that? We read this. They compel one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Say, what is peculiar? The father of Alexander and Rufus. Thus, Mark mentions Alexander and Rufus as being eminent Christians in the time that he was writing. And Simon was their father. That means they were Simon's children. What does that mean? Well, congregation, it seems as if there has been some prophet here. It seems as if there has been some instruction. It seems as if there has been some advantage that has been gained by Simon as he is carrying the last end of the cross of Christ. Or he had to be compelled. No, by nature, we do not desire such a cross. By nature, we recoil against it. Why? Because of the burden. Because of the shame. Because of the supposed defilement. But congregation, what has happened in that soul of Simon as he has followed Jesus in the way? What has happened to that soul of Simon as he did bear this cross after Jesus? Or was there a time as he was bearing that cross and walking in those footsteps? Was there a time as perhaps the mocking was against the Lord Jesus Christ and against himself, that the unwillingness of Simon has been changed into a willingness in the day of the power of the Lord, so that he has made him willing in the day of his power? Or we do not know. No, but what has happened in the soul of this man? Or was he given there as he was bearing the tail end of that cross as some views of his own sin? In the midst of all his religion, or was he given also by the Lord as some views of the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was there a moment in the life of Simon that it became from a burden a privilege to bear up under that cross of Christ? Oh, how is it that Simon has gone back again to his own place? How is it that Simon has spoken to his children of all that has transpired there? Or has he spoken there of that great cross bearer? Has he spoken there to his sons, to his children, of the wonder of the Lord, how that he has worked something in his own soul, that the dealings of the Lord, that with him as a man, to make him to melt under the goodness of the Lord, the dealings of the Lord, to make him from a rebellious man, from a compelled cross-bearer unto a willing cross-bearer? No, we do not know. This is not written in the Bible. But congregation, Simon's name, that is a name that is now written in the Bible. You remember, boys and girls, what that woman did, how she poured that oil, that ointment over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do you remember what the Lord Jesus said of that woman? That this shall be told for a memorial of her. Oh, and now how is it with Simon? Calvin says, no doubt that it is the intention of the Lord that Simon's name that will be mentioned throughout the world, throughout his church, even unto the end of time, concerning this cross bearing, thus his name that has become famous. How? By the cross of Christ. Is that not so with the true church of God? That the name of that people, that name Christian, that it is a name and that it is associated throughout all the world with the bearing of the cross of Christ. Thus, Simon, he became a symbol of the cross-bearing church of God. Did Simon also become a symbol of us? Are we also one of that church-bearing cross of church of God, that cross-bearing church of God that does follow in the footsteps of that great cross-bearer? Let us sing first. 174:1-2. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1 and 2 of 174. Thank you. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Do you two have a cross, congregation? You have a cross? What is your cross? Say, I have a sickness. Another says, I have pain every day. That is my cross. One says, my business that does not go as I desire. Seems like everything comes against it. Another says, my family, trouble, and maybe even that you say, yes, I can understand it, then I see that I also do bear the cross after Jesus. Is that so? Let us ask you another question. How does your cross differ from all the troubles of this world? What man in this whole world, young and old together, is without trouble, without affliction? What does Solomon say? He says, the strength of our life is labor and sorrow, and we fly away. Is that only for God's children? No. Does the whole world bear a cross after Jesus? Certainly not. Certainly not. No, those afflictions, those trials, are they not quite different from what Simon has laid upon him? What is different about Simon's cross? What is very unique about it? Well, congregation, does he not bear that shame for the name, for the sake of Jesus? And this we read in the Bible very, very often. When the Lord speaks about bearing a cross for my name's sick. Thus, what do we read? The Lord Jesus, he says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Is that all? Well, congregation, we are not blessed when men shall revile us. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Is that what he says? No, those are not blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake. There it is. Those are blessed. For my sake, ye shall be brought before king, governors and kings. Many are who are not blessed. Not at all. Cursed Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He that loseth his life shall find it. Is that what it says? Not all that lose their life find it. Many lose their life to an eternal damnation. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Everyone that hath forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and father and mother and wife and children and lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Thus we read many times in the Bible about the true cross-bearing. That is a suffering for the sake and for the name of the Lord. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. No, not a cross that we deliberately bring upon ourselves so that we may have a name and the fame of being a cross bearer for Jesus. Such have their own reward. What are we, congregation? Are we different than Simon? We have a nature that needs to be compelled to bear the cross. God's children too, they do not desire it. They do not look for it. They are not asking for it, no, and should not ask for it either. But they can expect that it will be laid upon them. And it will seem sometimes like it is laid upon them by men, but it is actually laid upon them by the Lord. Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? He says that that church is appointed thereunto, and they have an encouragement. And what is the encouragement? That it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is going before them. And then he says, he that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And indeed, even when that people need to be compelled, then there is so much profit, is there not? All there is profit for themselves. Because to bear that cross is a weaning from this world. To bear that cross that is good for their soul, even though that their flesh rebels against it. And how many in this world, children also, parents maybe, that may be gathered unto him, that they may have sons, that they may have daughters, that may also behold something of that cross-bearing, that they may hear also something of the wonders of the Lord, how that the Lord has inclined their heart so to follow after him, even if it is the way, in the way of the bearing of that cross. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of the Lord than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was for the sake of the Lord. You did do that too, boys. Are you ready for that? When you prepare to go on a Friday evening somewhere with your friends, are you prepared to do that same? And to say, no, I am not going to be involved with your drinking, your drugs, your whatever it is. I am not. And why am I not? Because it is against the word of God. You will be mocked. You will be mocked. But to be mocked, boys, by all those other friends, to be mocked, that is to bear something, just a little bit, when it is for the sake of the name of the Lord. Naboth, he would not sell his vineyard. Why not? He says, I may not from the Lord. Probably would have even been profitable to him. He probably would have received a good price for it. If he wanted to be a little bit of political, no. He says it is against the word of God. You ready to do that too, girls? When you get up in the morning and you are going to get dressed, and you say, yeah, what does the word of God say? How I must be dressed as a woman, as a girl. Going to be mocked. Going to be mocked. But what do you say? But it is right. Do you know what Joseph said? He said, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What was that? Adultery. Adultery. You think about that, young people? He was mocked for it. He had to suffer for it. He was put into prison. And how is it with you? How is it? When the world, they are going in the way of adultery, no one will know. No one will know. Everyone does it. You will be mocked. But if you will do it to stand strong because of the word of the Lord, when it is for his sake, oh, then it is just a little bit of the bearing of that cross of Jesus, to follow him, behind him. Do you know what Paul said in the church? He says, if I yet preach circumcision, then why am I persecuted? He says, then the offense of the cross ceased. What did he mean? He meant, I don't need to be persecuted. All I need to do is preach the circumcision. Because if I preach that you all need to be circumcised, well, then all those Judaizers, they will be happy. And no one will persecute me anymore. Did he do it? Did not do it. He could not do it. And he suffered that persecution because of the truth of the Word of God, and in that he bore the cross after Jesus. Do you know what Peter says? He says, let none of you suffer as a murderer. Let none of you suffer as a thief. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer. Let none of you suffer as a busybody in other men's matters. But if any of you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, all to suffer for doing what is right, to suffer for walking according to the Word of God. That is, in a little way, to bear the cross after Jesus. That is, in a little way, to deny yourself and to take up the cross and to follow him, to suffer for speaking the truth. For speaking the truth, all that is to bear the cross in a little way after Jesus. Christ did it. He suffered for it. Thou sayest, I am a king. He would not come down from it. All to suffer congregation for doing justice. For the oppressed, that is the way of Christ. He sat and he ate with publicans and with sinners to suffer for maintaining right doctrine. All that is the way of Christ. He suffered for it. What did they say to him? You cannot be of God because you do not keep the Sabbath day. Congregation, on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Oh, what are we? What are we? What is the church of God in all this? Is it not shortcomings? Really? Is it not failings from the beginning to the end? We cannot bear the smallest weight, can we? We cannot bear the smallest weight of that cross without him. Without him. Therefore, it is no merit on the side of his people. But that heaviest part that was borne by him, that was carried by him, and in that carrying he has merited eternal life for his church. What does the catechism say of the church? We have only a small beginning of disobedience. But it is a church that begins in a small way to follow him on the earth, to follow him on the earth. And those indeed that learn in a small way to follow him on the earth. Do you know what John says in the book of Revelation? In the way of glory, then they shall follow the Lamb. They shall follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Shall we follow him in that way too? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. For thou knowest our guilt. Thou knowest that we are not ready to have that cross to be laid upon us for thy name. Oh, to be mocked in this world for confessing the name of Christ. Oh, do give to us grace. Regenerate us, convert us, and give to each one of us that grace that is necessary to follow thee. Forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire to thy house in this afternoon. Help him that will go before us. For Jesus' sake, amen. 184, 1, 3, 6, and 7. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1, 3, 6, and 7 of 184. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.